to turn to John chapter 13, please, in your Bible. We're breaking into our Gideon series because it's Easter, Palm Sunday today, the moment where we remember Jesus triumphantly entering into Jerusalem. But at the same time, I felt this week led that I was to preach not on the triumphal entry, but on an event that occurred in that Passion Week in between Jesus entering into the city and Jesus handing over to be crucified and dying on the cross, the Savior of the world. And it's the moment where Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. Now, some of you are going to be saying there, oh, is there going to be a towel and a bowl of water that's going to be whipped out from somewhere? Actually, I spent most of this week thinking, will I, won't I? And I've actually decided not to. Because it's not so much about the action, it's about the attitude that was behind the action of Jesus towards his disciples and then how they were to behave one to the other. So you can rest easy. I think I've told you before of when I was in Bible college and running a Monday morning prayer meeting with a friend of mine, and probably every second one that he was taking, I'd be walking up first thing in a Monday morning up to the top floor over three stories of the Bible college where we were in, and you'd begin to see little soap suds lying on the floor where he'd carried up a basin of water and it had sloshed out, and you're like, oh, here we go, foot washing again. You know, are my socks got holes in them? Are my feet clean? And all which they were, and which there wasn't. No, which there wasn't, which, yeah. Feet were clean and the socks weren't holed. It's all right. I was well turned out by Heather. I was newly married. So I know what it's like to go in those situations and think, oh, here's where we're going. But I also know what it's like for the power of that moment to happen, of seeing an act of serving. But this morning, I want us to think about the attitude that was behind the action in that moment. So if you turn to John chapter 13, and we're going to read the first 17 verses, if you get your Bible or if you're booting up your iPad or your tablet this morning, it's John 13 and verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was already being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and he was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, he took off his outer clothing and he wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped round him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have got no part with me. Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, a person who's had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. You are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said not everyone was clean. When he'd finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. I read this Bible passage during this week and I created a new word to describe Jesus. I created a new word that summed up who he was. A combination of Savior and Servant. Servier. Feel free to use that as many times as you would like. A combination of Servant and Savior. That's That's the flip side of the coin. But I think servier sounds better. We've not road tested it much yet. But it sums up this attitude of who Jesus was. It summed up something about the ministry, the mission of Jesus, that he came as the Savior of the world, but he also came as the servant of man. We see an amazing dedication to the mission, but also to ministry. Of loving the world, but of being a living example to those that were right in front of him. The God-man who was concerned with man's relationship with God, but also with the disciples' relationship with each other. And there's more about how the community of faith are supposed to act and interact together in this passage than is perhaps more, you know, than we would maybe realize at first. You see, he's concerned about cleansing the dirt of sin from the world as much as he's cleansing the dirt from off their feet. He's ready to refresh their feet as he is to rescue and to refresh their soul. And there's a combination here of what is going on. There is Jesus mirroring some things, that he is laying aside his outer garments, the story says, as he gets ready. It's the same word in the Greek that's used when Jesus talks about the good shepherd who lays aside or who lays down his life for the sheep. The similar kind of idea of something that is sacrificial, something that is out of the ordinary, something that is above and beyond the norm. And Jesus lays aside his life for the sheep. Jesus lays aside his outer garments. He's making a show and he's making a statement to those who are watching, those who are looking on. He's saying, I am doing something that is sacrificial. He's coming and he's going to wash the disciples' feet. And we know what it is to be washed clean of our sin and of our stain of sin that is on our life. If we've come to Jesus, if we've knelt at the foot of the cross, if we've said, Jesus, I'm sorry for all the wrong things that I have ever thought, done, or committed. I want to be forgiven. I want to make you my Savior. I want to realize that I couldn't do it on my own. No way I could get to God and get to God's standard of perfection. Do you know what? God knew that. That's why Jesus came. That's why he was willing to lay aside his garments. That's why he was willing to lay down his life. Because he was the perfect sacrifice to die in your place and to die in my place. And the good news is that we can be forgiven, that we can be free, and that we can be clean because of what Jesus did. And the physical represents the spiritual here, you know, in that sense of us being clean of our sin. That stain that's on our life, that blot that's on our life that stops us coming into relationship with God. And Jesus wipes away that stain, wipes away like he does with the towel that's there as he washes the feet of the disciples and wipes the dirt of the day away from them and then washes them clean. And we are made clean in Jesus. But Jesus was concerned about the sin of the world. Jesus was concerned about the lives and the relationship of his disciples. Can I ask you a question this morning? Who and what are you concerned about? Who and what is concerning you in your life right now? Who might Jesus be prompting you to love and to serve with your actions and with your words in the environment and the communities that you find yourself? Who's part of the people group, the sphere of influence that's orbiting your life right now that maybe you need to serve, that maybe you need to love, that maybe you need to care for, that maybe you need to be an expression of the love of God right there in their home, in your workplace, in the street where you live, or perhaps the lecture room where you study? This is a famous Sunday school passage. But it's a lesson in covenant community where position isn't a title, but it is a posture. It's not about the title. See, John wants to make it really clear that Jesus has come from the Father. He wants to make it really clear that he is the rabbi, that he is the teacher, that he is the Lord. He wants to make it really clear that Jesus has power and that Jesus has authority. But yet he also wants to make it really clear that sometimes you need to step down. That sometimes you need to be in that place of being the servant. And this is a scandalous servanthood moment that comes really poignantly in the middle of the festival, in the middle of the meal that is the highlight of the Jewish calendar, that they're celebrating Passover, those moments of rescue, that moment of deliverance where God led the children of Israel under Moses out of slavery in Egypt and towards the promised land, where God set them free, where God enabled them to go and worship Him, when God promised them the inheritance of the land that was flowing with milk and honey that would be theirs, that they would enter into. And it's celebrated. God has been the rescuer. God has been the deliverer. And it's celebrated in the middle of that moment, the backdrop of that week of Jesus coming into the city and those cries of Hosanna to the Son of David, saying, rescuers, deliverers, Messiah, King that comes in the name of the Lord. And it comes against the backdrop of that, of the excitement of the festival, the excitement of the moment of saying, Jesus, you're coming in, you're going to kick the Romans out of Israel, you're going to reestablish God worship, and we're going to be there with you reigning and ruling, and it's going to be great. And at the moment where the disciples are thinking this is the high point of our life, Jesus is getting down on his knees. Jesus is taking the form, the attitude, the action of the servant. But John really wants us to understand Jesus' relationship with the Father, his deity. He wants them to know that this isn't just a man doing an action. He wants us to know that this is the God-man who's engaged in this activity. In verse 1, it tells us that John wants to tell us that Jesus is going to leave the world and he's going to go to his Father. In verse 3, he reminds us that he's all things is under his power. That he's come from God and that he's going back to God. Verse 13 and verse 14 tell us that he is the Lord and that he is the teacher. And as though John is wanting to really emphasize the high status that Jesus had, that actually magnifies the action and the activity, which in one sense is just a simple action, but the impact of it is greater when you realize the status and the deity of Jesus. That Jesus didn't go for the title, but he went for the posture. He went for the example. He showed the attitude of love and commitment. It says there that he wanted to show them the full extent of his love, of his total commitment towards them. And you know, Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the writer to Hebrews tells us, still wants to show his followers and his disciples the full extent of his love. You might want to just nudge the person next to you and tell them, do you know that Jesus loves you? No, do you really know that Jesus loves you? That he is passionate about you? That he's willing to do whatever it would take to get you sitting up and taking notice of that love? That he's willing to go outside of his position, his title, his status, to step down into your life, to step down at that moment where you maybe feel dirty, that moment where you maybe feel unclean, that moment where you're maybe feeling dry and dusty and in need of refreshing, that moment where you're maybe saying, oh, I've just made a mistake, I've missed it. Because I'm sure that was what was going on in the disciples' heads when they began to see Jesus doing what he was doing. Think, oh, I've messed up again. I've done it. How many times do we think about that? Yeah, daily if your name's Gordon. I messed up again. And yet Jesus, through his actions, wants to show you the full extent of his love. We'll never be able to work out the heights and the depths and the breadths of the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus, the book of Ephesians tells us. But we are encouraged to try it. We are encouraged to go on that journey, go on that adventure of trying to work out the dimensions of the love of God that's ours in Christ Jesus, knowing that we will never, ever, 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 ever be able to fathom him out. But we can rest in the fact that he does love us and he wants to show us that love. He wants to show the relationship that he's got with his Father. John wants to show us the love and commitment that Jesus has to his followers, the full extent of his love that he wants to have, and he has relationship with those who follow him. How's your relationship with Jesus? If it's a scale of 1 to 10, if you were judging it from this time last year to now, has it grown deeper? Have you gone up a point? Have you gone up a notch? Maybe 2 or 3? Maybe if you're being honest, then maybe your commitment and your relationship with Jesus is deteriorated. It's not as good as it was. Something's come in. Something's taken your focus. Something's taken up your priority, your mind. You're not just where you used to be. Well, do you know what? Today is the day of sorting that out. Today is the day of coming back and letting Jesus clean your feet. Yes, you're clean on the outside. And Jesus speaks to Peter and says, you know what? If you've had a bath, then you're clean. Although sometimes when my boys come out of the bath. But we're going to take and rest in the Word of God. If you've had a bath, then you're clean by faith. You're clean. But sometimes in life, your feet just get dirty. Sometimes through going through the day, your feet just get that little bit dirty. You know, when you're on holiday and you kick off the shoes and salt is warm enough to not wear socks and stuff like that, you know, and you're just there, you maybe get your Crocs on or your Espadillos or your sandals, whatever it is, and all of a sudden you take them off and you realize, my feet's a bit dirty. And you don't need to go in the shower, but maybe you need to stick your feet in a basin and get them washed and get them clean. And Jesus said, you know, for us who's maybe sitting in this place today and saying, my relationship with Jesus isn't what it used to be and it isn't what it should be. Well, today is a day to sort that out. Let him cleanse you. Let him clean. You're clean for having had the bath of salvation and being rescued from your sin, but maybe there's some dirt there that Jesus needs to clean. You need to come, you need to submit yourself and allow Jesus to clean you. That's dead easy. You don't even need to take your socks off for it this morning. All you need to do is bow your knee in your heart and pray a prayer that says, Jesus, I'm sorry for the wrong things I've done. I want to stop doing those things. I want to start doing those things that bring me closer and bring me close to you. And if you don't know what they are, let me tell you, let me encourage you. Reading your Bible, saying and praying, Jesus, would you teach me through this? Praying. Saying, God, I want to get to know you. I want to know what's your heart. And not just having prayer as being your shopping list of things that you would like God to do for you, but actually, you know, sitting listening, saying, God, is there anything you want to say to me? Worshiping. Maybe getting on a worship CD or a download or getting on to Spotify and putting in some good worship and just listen to it. Some of you are like, what's Spotify? Go to the App Store, you know, that music search engine where you can just put some stuff in and you, know, you get your music coming up and you can just, you know, be listening and be worshiping and getting, you know, worshiping, getting wrapped up in the presence of God and who he is and those kind of things. One of the best things to keep you close to Jesus, telling others about Jesus, because they're going to be looking at your life. They're going to be asking you, well, why do you do that? Why do you not do this? Why do you behave in this way? How come you can stand when all this stuff's going on around about you? And you want to pray, and then you want to do. But Jesus' commitment to his followers, his relationship with them. But Jesus also wants to bring to his followers, to his disciples, the relationship that they're to have with each other. I know, look around the room, there's a scary thought, isn't it? To relationship with each other, that they are family, that they are community. And in doing so and engaging in this action of washing the feet, that we see Jesus revealing the depth of the Savior's love. Also, if we're being honest, probably the shallowness of the disciples' understanding. How do you react when you've got something big about to happen in your life? Something important, something major, something pressing that's going to be occurring just around the corner. Are you one of these folks who just, you can park it and leave it there? Are you somebody who becomes preoccupied with it? Even if it's not in your conscience, it's still in your subconscious with how you act towards other people. Maybe a little bit of hidden anxiety. Maybe a little bit of kind of being uptight and feeling uptight about things. You know, Jesus has told them the reason that they're going to Jerusalem is so that he will be handed over into the hands of sinful men where they would put him to death. Jesus knows the burden that is on him, that he's going to become the sin bearer of the world, of history and of humanity. Jesus knows what's going to be facing. And do you know what? That's a fairly major event that's about to be happening. Yet Jesus is totally focused on preparing his disciples, of making sure that they are ready, of making sure that they are ready. You know, Jesus is looking forward towards the cross, whereas the disciples are still looking back towards Palm Sunday and the triumphal entry and their position and what that might mean for them. And Jesus is facing death, but yet he's still willing to get down and to show them how their relationship in this kingdom of faith together should be acting and should be operating. In churches, Jesus did. What we need to be doing is that we need to be rising to the challenge of stepping down and serving. We need to be rising to the challenge of stepping down and serving. You know that foot washing was the task of the youngest, lowest servant or slave that was in the household, that was in the family. You know that they didn't have their Nike trainers or their Timberland boots or anything like that that they'd be wearing. If they were really, really blessed, they would have a pair of sandals on. They might even have just been barefoot. Walking along roads that were not tarred. Okay, we think some of our roads are bad with potholes and broken things and stuff like that. You know, walking along roads that were dry, that were dusty, they didn't have cars, they had donkeys and horses that... You know what that's like. Good for the garden, not so good for your bare feet. That may have been cut through walking barefoot or in the thinnest of sandals on dry, dusty, stony roads. And it was the job of the youngest, lowest in the house to go as guests came in, before they sat down, before they ate their meal, to go round with the basin, clean off all the dirt, clean off all the dust, everything that was dry and dusty, perhaps to maybe put some lotion on the feet to refresh them, or to perhaps promote some healing if there were some cuts and damage that was there to the feet. Yet Jesus gets up, because it says the meal is already being served. He gets up, takes off his outer coat, his outer garment, and he goes and he puts on, it says he puts on the serving towel. And the moment that he began to put that on, his disciples are given it. We've blown it. Another one of those dull moments. Yeah, Homer Simpson was there at Passover. That moment where they're realizing, I had an opportunity to serve Jesus. I had an opportunity to serve my brothers in Christ, and I've missed it. Let's make sure that we don't miss those opportunities to serve Jesus and to serve each other. And the Savior who said, unless you become like a little child, you will never be able to enter the kingdom of God, takes on the role of the youngest, littlest child in the house. And the Jesus who had said, whoever desires to be first or greatest in the kingdom of God needs to become the slave or the servant of each other, takes the towel and wraps it round his waist. And the Jesus who had said, even just the previous chapter or the day earlier, who said, whoever serves me needs to follow me, takes a basin and he begins to kneel at the feet of the first disciple and washes their feet. See, it's the power of the position. And the power of position this morning for this church in questions, when we find ourselves in those moments of opportunities to love, opportunities to serve, opportunities to go maybe above and beyond, but to step down and to rise to the challenge of stepping down and serving. Questions are, what can I do? Number two, what should I do? And number three, what will I do? Very similar, but very different. Lots of people know what to do in theory. Lots of people even have that little prick to their conscience that says, oh, I know what I should be doing, but I just can't be bothered. I'm just too tired. I'm just too lazy. I'm just too busy. I've just got this. I've just got that. What will I do? It's that moment of stepping down. It's that moment of serving. It's that moment of doing something that goes beyond you, that goes beyond your needs, that goes beyond where you're at, and actually speaks into and helps some other people. Now, the good news is, Jesus is okay with aha moments. You know those moments where maybe after the event, after the moment, where all of a sudden you go, aha, that's what it was all about. Because Jesus said to Peter in verse 7, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. You see, Jesus doesn't waste the opportunity. Jesus doesn't waste the moment. And there are some things that happen that you reflect on later on, and all of a sudden you begin to understand. And Jesus is saying, when you see me dying on the cross, when you see me risen from the dead, when you see me having cleansed the world from all of its sin, then you will know something about what it is to be part of my family, something to know what it is to be clean on the inside and on the outside. The encouragement for us this morning that Jesus would say would be, trust me in the moment. When maybe God begins to do something that's a little bit different, a little bit out of the ordinary, a little bit unexpected, trust me in the moment, or relax in that moment. But he asks us not to forget it, even if we don't fully understand it. He says, think about it with your mind. Trust me in the moment. Think about it with your mind. Relax and be reflective. Because through it all, a third R, he wants to refresh you through it all. And for the disciples looking on, for you and I, as we look on in our life and the situations that we face, just a couple of just little headlines that you can tuck away for this week and for the future. See the Savior, follow the example, live in the blessing. See the Savior. You know, disciples watch Jesus. See the example, his action, his activity, what he did. And then he said to them, no, now you've seen me do it, you should do it for each other. Live in the blessing, he says, then you will be blessed. But blessing isn't in the knowing. Blessing is in the doing. So we're going to see the Savior. We're going to follow his example. And we're going to live in his blessing. And if we're following his example, then we're letting him be Lord. We're letting him be the teacher that's over our life. And that's a good thing. Because if he's Lord, then he's your Savior. You put your trust, you put your faith in him. You've turned away from your sin and asked him to forgive you and make you clean from your sin and from all the wrong things you've done in your life. And if he's your teacher, then he's going to teach you how to be more and more like him. How to know what God's plan and God's purpose is for your life, and how then to walk in it. But I want it to be grounded here in Edinburgh, not just in first century Jerusalem. I want to challenge you and I want to ask you to think about some amazing feats for amazing feet. F-E-A-T, feats for amazing feet, F-E-E-T. Because Jesus said to his disciples, you need to do it for each other. As a community of faith together, as a covenant community, you could say, and that's one of the things that we're believing that we are. We're a covenant community that lives with our local community, and we're looking for those moments of crossover, that crossover community, but it's both within here at Morningside, but also the community or the communities that you live in, that you work in, that you study in, that you socialize in. I want to ask you, what are the feet of this fellowship? What's the feet, F-E-E-T, of your community? What are the needs? You see, the need that was there was for dirty feet to be washed and to be clean and to be refreshed. The problem was, the disciples would have gladly done it for Jesus. The challenge for the disciples wasn't that they would get the towel and wash Jesus' feet. The challenge for the disciples was that they would wash each other's feet. With that whole kind of pecking order and that whole kind of who's going to be greatest in the kingdom? Is it going to be my boys? Is it going to be me? You know, I'm going to go with you right to the point of death, Jesus, and then I'm going to give up on you. This kind of jockeying for position and status. And the challenge wasn't to wash Jesus' feet. The challenge was to wash each other's feet. So as you gaze around the room right now, please feel free to do that. Look at people. I know it's hard in rows, but it's okay to look around the rows and say, where are the feet? You say at the bottom of their ankles, I know, hidden under the pews. But where are the needs that's in this room? Where are the opportunities to serve one another in love? What are the needs of this fellowship, not as individuals, but the needs of this fellowship corporate? What are the needs of the community that's walking past the door right now as we're in here? What are the feet of Morningside? What is the feet of Edinburgh? Because when we find the F-E-E-T, then we will begin to find the amazing feats, F-E-A-T, those actions, those moments that can transform lives, that can revolutionize thinking, that can bring people and transform people, bring them out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. It's those moments of revelation where they begin to ask, why are you doing this? And lets you very easily say, here's my moment to tell them about how great Jesus is. Here's my moment to tell them about the love of God. Here's my moment to tell them about a Savior who took off his outer garment and who laid down his outer garment, but who also laid down his life for his sheep. Here's my moment to tell of a Savior who steps down, who allows his hands to be dirty with the filth of the feet of life of humanity. Here's a Savior who sets an example for us. And I just want to say thank you to those of you who are already serving, who are already washing the feet of the community of this church, who are already washing the feet of your community, who've been involved in different groups, different projects, where you just become the hands and feet of Jesus, caring for people, befriending them, sitting with them, listening to them, serving them, helping them, speaking words about Jesus into their life and into their situation. I want to say thank you. And I want to say well done. I want to say that heaven recognizes and heaven realizes what you do, and often hidden from other people, but is seen by him, and that he will bless and that he will reward. In the interest to know, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you have, come on, that's two or three of you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. What does that love look like? It looks like a towel. It looks like a basin. And it looks like some water. Serving one another in love. Why did Jesus do it? Because he loved them. The Amplified Bible says of verse 1, when he said he's going to show them the full extent of his love, it says that he loved them to the last in the highest degree. Do you know how much he loves you? Do you understand how much he loves you? Here's how much he loves you. The hands that had washed the dirt from their feet would be pierced by Roman nails to wash the sin of the world from their lives by 6 a.m. the following morning. See, they have this moment in the middle of the Passover meal. They finish the meal, they wash his feet, they head out into the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus will pray, he'll be handed over, and he'll be betrayed. He'll have his mock trials. Barabbas will be released. This other prisoner, this terrorist, would be released as the crowd shout, "Release Barabbas," and say, "Crucify Jesus." He would be scourged and whipped, beaten with staffs, marred beyond all recognition, the crown of thorns rammed onto his head, mockingly being adored or worshipped. And then he would be taken, he would be pinned to a Roman cross, executed under the title of being the King of the Jews. Why did he do it? He did it because he loved you. Did it because he did not want you to spend eternity far from God? didn't want you to spend eternity in hell. He wanted to spend eternity in heaven. And by the power of the blood of Jesus, you can be washed clean from all your sin. You can be set free to know his love, to know his purpose, to know his plan. We're going to bow in prayer.